This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Stephen Kramer. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
People love to sing about it. Every heart longs for it. We were created to experience it. It can change our lives. What am I describing? Grace. I invite you to listen in to the Christian Crusader service and discover for yourself where to find it. Gracious and loving Father, we praise you this day for the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Through him you have poured out the riches of your grace upon us. So we thank you for the grace. In Christ's name, amen. Our reading for today is the Apostle John's version of the Christmas story, taken from chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who was close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was 7 years old, my family and I lived in a little community in North Dakota called Beach. My mom and dad's names were Earl and Dolores. My little sister Debbie, she was 5 years old. One day we all piled into the family car and we headed off to visit our Aunt Grace in Kildare, North Dakota, a few hours away. Grandma and Grandpa came along as well. When we got to Kildare, we entered Grace's home and came to discover that we were the only little kids that were there that day, and the rest was adults. There were other people from around the area visiting as well, and that little house got really hot in that August day. And Grace, seeing how bored we were getting, said to one of the older cousins in her teens, "Why don't you take Steve and Debbie to the local playground down the way here so they can play and have some fun?" So off we went to the playground. Cousin took us there and turned and left us to play. I suppose a couple hours had gone by. We were having a nice time and decided we should get back to the house for dinner. And I grabbed Debbie by the hand and started taking her down one of the streets. And I looked and saw that I didn't really know where we were. This didn't look familiar. So I thought, well, it must be the wrong corner. So I went down to the other corner and started up another street. And again, nothing looked familiar. So I thought, gee, I must have gotten turned around. So I went to the other side of the block and began to walk that way. And again, nothing looked right. And after the fourth try, I said to my sister, "I think we're lost." She began to cry, and I began to panic. And so I did something that I probably would never recommend to my own children to do. But I picked one of the streets, and I began to knock on the doors of the homes. And after a couple that weren't home, I finally got someone to come to the door, and Debbie was standing behind me on the sidewalk, crying crocodile tears. And I said, "We're lost. Do you know where Grace lives?" And the first person said, "No, I don't. I've never heard of that name. What's her last name?" I said, "I can't remember." "Well, then I moved to the house next door and tried there. Do you know where Grace lives?" "Nope, don't know." Tried another street, another block over. And I pounded on a couple doors. And finally, on about the third try, a tall gentleman answered the door. I said, "Do you know where Grace lives?" And he said, "Grace?" And said some last name. He said, I think I know who you're talking about. Let me check my phone book and look at the address. And he came back out and he said, I think I know where you want to be. Hop in my car. I'll give you a ride over there. Kids, don't do that. But we got into the car, I remember, because it was a convertible, and I'd never ridden in a convertible before. It looked like great fun. And sure enough, he drove us a few short blocks, and there we were, in familiar setting, Grace's house. And we went running in, and Debbie, the first thing, told Mom and Dad, as she was still crying a bit, that Steve had gotten us lost. And Mom and Dad tried to make us feel better, and then we had a nice dinner and packed up the car and headed home. All ended well. Do you know where Grace lives? That's a question that every human heart asks. Not Aunt Grace, like I was just describing in the story, but that Grace that we experience when God steps into a person's life, his unmerited love and favor. Do you know where it is? We hear it sometimes about it, as we hear the alcoholic who is now sober proclaim, I'm sober by the grace of God. Or we hear a neighbor, friend speak of his relationship with God, talking about God like he lives right in his home with him. Or we hear someone go through a crisis and say, I never would have made it, but by the grace of God. And we think to ourselves, I'd like to have some of that. Where can I find it? John tells us in the gospel for today where to find grace. As he tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we see that verse and we say, what's the Word? That's a Greek term, a philosophical term, some sort of an existence. It means logos. In the beginning was someone, and he was with God. There's a relationship, a close, personal, intimate relationship. But then we learn that not only was the Word with God, the Word was God, that they were one and the same. And then we learn in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. That's John's way of saying that Word became a human being and pitched his tent among us, is the literal translation there. It's a picture of the tabernacle in the wilderness as God led his people to the promised land. I like the way Eugene Peterson refers to it in The Message. He says, and the Word moved into our neighborhood and became one of us. He came to be among us, to be our neighbor, to get personal with us. John goes on to say, we have seen his glory, glory as of a father's only son. When we see that word glory, that's an Old Testament term, usually tied in with God. One time God said to Moses, when he was leading the people out in the wilderness toward that promised land, he said, Moses, what would you like? And Moses said, God, let me see your glory. And God said, turn your face away and I will make my goodness pass by you, but don't think you can look at me. No one can look at me and live. Or we think of the glory that of God's presence that rested upon the tabernacle as the people would camp each evening along the way in the book of Exodus. It has something to do with the very presence of God. He was full of glory as of the Father's only Son, and that's John's way of saying he was a reflection of God. When you looked into his face, you were looking into the face of God. And what was that face like? He said he was full of grace. That's another way of saying full of unmerited love and truth. He knows what makes life work. He knows what we need, and he knows what we need to know about our Heavenly Father. And then John goes on to say, from his fullness, there's another New Testament term out of the book of Colossians. We see that as well. In him was the fullness of God. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. In other words, an overwhelming and abundance of God's love in our lives. Someone once described God's grace in this way. It's like trying to drink the ocean with a teaspoon. You just can't do it. It will never run out. It's inexhaustible. And John goes on to say, you know, God was good to us, and his first step with Moses. And he gave us the law. But in Jesus Christ, there we finally get the name. But in Jesus Christ, we get grace and truth. That first covenant with Moses was fine. But that was only the beginning step, John is saying. Now God has stepped into this world to save us. And from Jesus we receive grace and truth. And then he wraps it up by saying, it's God, the only Son. It's his way of saying Jesus is the Son of God, who is close to the Father's heart, who is intimately tied with God, who has made him known. In other words, he has explained God to us. He has taken us on a personal God tour. He has shown us God. I remember in John later on, John remembers Jesus saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. To look into the face of Jesus Christ is to look into the face of God. And John goes on to say, and looking into that face, what we received, what we experienced was grace. Grace that you're looking for has a face, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Word, God in the flesh. There's no more guessing about God, how God feels about me, how God thinks, what the heart of God is all about. Christ has made him known as he stepped into our world, full of grace and truth. We hear his words of grace and truth as he tells that story about the son who went away from his father's house and blew his inheritance and ended up living in the back alleys, far away from home, unable to feed himself. When he came to his senses, he decided to put together a little speech and ask his father to take him back and let him work as a servant for him, for he did not deserve to be a son anymore. And he turned face and went home. And as he was headed up the roadway towards home, he saw a figure coming towards him, and as it got closer, he realized it was his father, and he was running towards him with arms open wide, full of compassion and love. And he wrapped those arms around that boy, and he welcomed him home and threw a party and said, this son of mine was dead, he's alive, he was lost, and now he's found. And Jesus said, that's a picture of God. He's looking for people that are in need of his grace and his love. And then ultimately, he showed us his love in his actions, didn't he? As we look at the cross, we are not simply looking at the death of a martyr. We are looking at the death of a Savior, one who has come to rescue us from our sin. All of us were in debt up to our ears, over our heads, to God in our sinfulness, far away from God. But God in his mercy stepped forward and stooped down, and he gave us his son who died upon that cross. And when he said at the end, as he took his last breath, it is finished, it was his way of saying, Father, now the debt is paid in full. And there is forgiveness that awaits the sinner who turns to him. And there is the promise of eternal life in heaven as we place our trust in the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ. We have received his grace, grace upon grace, John says. A couple years after I got lost and killed here, my parents moved to Livingston, Montana, and in the first few weeks there, made a few new friends, and one of them friends was David Latch. And David's mom called my mom one day and said, can we take Steve swimming with us up to Chico Hot Springs? It's a little natural hot springs pool up about 30 miles out of town. It's David's birthday, and that's what he wants to do for his birthday. Mom said, well, Steve doesn't swim very well, but if you keep an eye on him, I suppose it's okay. So off we went. Got to Chico and put on our swimsuits. Now, at Chico, there are two pools, a small one and a big one. And I figured the little one was probably for people like me who didn't swim well, for small people. And I jumped in, and boy, was I mistaken. That was the hot pool, the hottest one, and it was deep. And my feet didn't hit the floor of the pool. And I panicked and swallowed a big gulp of water, and I began to drown. And I couldn't get close enough to the side of the pool to get myself out. And I screamed. And I could see the faces of the onlookers behind the screen, the parents watching us. As I'm going down second time, third time, finally, as I'm down under the water the third, fourth time, a hand reached down. I felt a hand grab my hand and pull me to the side. And I looked up and sputtering and spitting and looked into the face of a young adult man who had seen me in my despair and reached out his hand and pulled me to that solid ground. And I said, thanks. Well, you know, that's what Jesus did. I was drowning in my sin, as all of us are drowning in our sin. But he didn't simply reach down. He jumped in, and he sacrificed his own life to put me on solid ground in a relationship with my Heavenly Father. And that is grace. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The guy on the side of the pool didn't say, try harder. He didn't say, try doing it this way. He stooped. He took action, and he pulled me out. And that's what Christ Jesus has done for you and me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Now, did you notice that there are a couple of times where John says, we? First of all, he says, we have seen his glory. He's talking about himself as a disciple. He said, you know, I lived with him. I had a personal relationship with Jesus. I followed him. I was there when he turned the water into wine. I saw his glory, and that's when I began to believe. And I saw his glory again and again in the various signs. And ultimately, I saw his glory as he was raised from the grave. And God put his stamp of approval upon him as the perfect sacrifice for humanity's sin, our Savior and Lord. I had that experience, John says. That's my testimony. And then the second we is, from his fullness, we all have received grace upon grace. And there he's not talking so much just about himself. He's making an announcement. Grace is available to everybody. Grace has been offered to everyone. God invites us to hold out our empty hands like beggars so that he might pour the riches of his grace into our lives through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. As we say yes to Jesus, as we place our trust in him and say, Lord, I want a relationship with you. I want to follow you. He gives you a grace testimony, just like he gave John a grace testimony. Grace is available. It has a face, the face of Jesus Christ. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. God has given us a wonderful gift. Amen. Father, we thank you for your grace, because many of us are listening in today, have done things for which we are sorry, and we need your forgiveness. Many of us are lacking in assurance, and we sometimes find ourselves wondering, what's going to happen to me when I take my last breath in this world? Is there a place prepared for me? Some of us, Lord, have faced crises in our lives in the past few days or weeks, and we're tired, and we need your all-sufficient grace. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, come in this day and fill us up with your inexhaustible, all-sufficient grace. In the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we ask this. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his grace and peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As we look forward to 2007, we pray that you and your loved ones will experience God's blessings of health and happiness. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. We thank those of you who send us an annual gift at this time of year. Your generous gifts allow us to deliver biblical truths to those who are unable to attend worship services in their own church. If you enjoyed today's message, please share it with a friend. Share it with your children. Check it out on the internet at www.christiancrusaders.org. The sermon is available in printed or audio form. The website also has many other spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit us online at christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Stephen Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders is now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.